This is the 4501 Podcast, Episode 40, How to Choose a Camera for YouTube.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. Genki Sushi.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, welcome to today's podcast episode. Did a little bit of a different intro to break up kind of what we've been doing in the past.
I like it.
Yeah, I know, right? Right? It's different.
Hey, Mark, how's it going? just kidding.
Yeah, we've been talking for like 10 minutes already, and this is just a different intro. So today we're going to be talking about picking cameras for your YouTube channel, because both Tony and I both like, you know, videography, I would say, or cameras or shooting photos and such like that. And more specifically, Tony has his YouTube channel and he uploads once a week, twice a week,
Monday and Friday evening, East Coast time.
All right. So two times a week. And so he has some experience about what cameras you want to choose, how to actually, you know, pick your cameras, how to actually edit it and stuff like that. So if you're just thinking about starting a YouTube channel, this will be a good episode for you to figure out kind of the equipment you need to purchase or steal or borrow in order to get your channel up and running, right?
That's right, Mark. And I think the first thing I'll say is that if you want to start a YouTube channel, the equipment really doesn't matter. Like, you can honestly start a YouTube channel with your cell phone from 5-10 years ago, and that's completely fine. It's all about the content, not really about the cinematics and all that stuff. But with that being said, a good camera will enhance the quality of your videos and vlogs. So we'll be touching on a little bit of both aspects, because I've been through a couple different cameras with my YouTube channel for the past year and a half or so, and I can speak, I guess, intelligently about the differences between a low quality camera versus a high quality camera.
Well, let's start off with your YouTube journey. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about your experiences with the platform, not like nuances, but like just talk about how you got started on the channel or the platform, and how long you've been doing it, and kind of what, how you started off your channel and how you gradually evolved to where it is now.
Yeah, for sure. So it was early July 2018, right around the time when I was thinking about leaving my job. And I knew I wanted to like travel, and I wanted to be like some type of like documenting my travels. But more importantly, I wanted to document the process of leaving my job. So it's funny because Mark, you and Nick, who's also been on the podcast, two of my best friends, they both watched these vloggers on YouTube, and I was like, what's the big deal with these vloggers, like Casey Neistat and I don't know, like Peter McKinnon and all those guys? I just couldn't get into it. I was like, why don't you just watch TV or something? But after Mark, I go over to his house after work, he would show me like the episodes from these vloggers, and I started to get into it. I'm like, this is really cool. Like, you get to like see a little bit about their lives, what they're doing, kind of grow with them, all that stuff. And that like gave me the inspiration to do my own daily vlog. So that's what I did early July 2018. And at that time, I did own a DSLR camera, my Nikon D5300, and I chose not to vlog with that. Instead, I vlogged with my camera, my cell phone camera, just because that was a lot easier.
And well, let's just say the lens on that camera also is like 30 pounds. So holding that sucker up would not be very easy to do.
Yeah, that was like on the verge of being a telephoto lens. I forget, like 70 to 300 maybe?
No, you had 35 to like 400.
Even worse.
Yeah, so like you literally, I don't understand how you had I have a DSLR also, but I prefer to use multiple lenses instead of the giant one, because that one was heavy. I mean, I remember borrowing it for a couple times, mm-hmm. and like it was a beast to hold up just because there's so much glass on it.
Yeah, RIP to that, because I sold it on Amazon last year.
Yeah, you told me.
Okay.
I remember. Remember we were talking about this and how you felt really ripped off because of the processing fees and stuff?
Yeah, Amazon takes at least 10%, more like 20% sometimes. But it's much better than selling your camera locally, like through like a local camera store.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
anyways, I digress. So you started your YouTube channel with shooting on what?
My OnePlus 5T cell phone. And I mean, it shoots in 4K. Do we have to go into all these specs, like 4K versus 1080? And I guess we should touch on them.
We should, but we can talk about that in a little bit after. Yeah. We can talk about that right after this.
Okay. So yeah, cell phone. It was like a flagship phone for OnePlus, top of the line, everything, camera, screen, all that stuff. Had a selfie cam and a rear-facing camera, but I chose to shoot with the rear-facing camera because the quality of the picture was a little bit better. I use that daily for over 100 days. And it was worked just fine.
Yep. And then what happened next? So obviously you just said like it's a cell phone, it was mobile, right? Was it easy? You think it was easy to set up and stuff?
It's like, I guess it's not technically point and shoot, but like you just pull it out of your pocket, open up the camera app, hit the record button, flip it around and start talking or film something, whatever's going on around you. So with that respect, yes, it was pretty easy. The thing that it wasn't good about it was I couldn't see myself because, like I said, I was using the rear camera and I was kind of guessing where it was pointed. So especially in the beginning, like some of my early vlogs, you could see like half of my head was cut off. Like you could only see my eyes or my mouth or something like that. I'm sure you probably remember that.
Yeah, I do. And so this, I mean, obviously, when we say rear-facing camera, this is the camera you normally use.
The non-selfie camera.
Non-selfie camera. Yeah, exactly. And also, I can imagine that if you're shooting with a cell phone camera, usually it has some sort of face detection to autofocus.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, if you're shooting outdoors or something in like vlog style, the exposure is going to be a little weird. So I always like to do kind of like a manual like exposure, if that makes any sense, or manual focus. And for me, if I was doing it that way, my face wouldn't be in focus. And I think that happened to you a couple times too, where like if you just lock the focus or the exposure, sometimes your face would be slightly out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that was a huge issue, but I think the main issue with using the cell phone is you can't see yourself. And obviously the easy way to get around that is just to use the selfie cam as a camera, but mm-hmm. then you kind of go from 4K resolution, which is your rear camera, to like 1080p, which is just like HD in your front-facing camera, your selfie cam.
Yeah, and I mean, in all honesty, 1080p is completely fine. The reason I choose to always release my videos in 4K is because I believe wholeheartedly that 4K is the future. Like these HD TVs are all going to shift to 4K TVs, and I just want all of my content to be to look good on a 4K TV.
Yeah, and so well, don't get into it now. Talk about why you you left that platform. I mean, after you talk about kind of so, what you've been using since then.
Yeah.
Then we'll get into resolutions.
Yeah. So I got really obsessed for a while with the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K. And that was like a brand new camera from this company down in Australia who comes out with these like really good consumer facing cameras that are not really geared towards vloggers. But I thought I could, because I was vlogging with my rear facing camera, I thought I could pull it off. It didn't have like a flip screen. I thought I could use this camera to film myself in 4K. It had 60 frames per second. We'll get into that as well. And, but I did not end up going with that. I eventually caved into the GH5 world, I guess I'll say that, which is Casey Neistat uses that. I think maybe a couple other vloggers do, but that's like the vlogging camera, quote unquote, that a lot of YouTubers use in 2018, 2019. So that eventually happened towards, I'd say like vlog 130, let's just say. So 130 days later, I picked that one up and started using that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so if you want to check out the differences, just look at like episode one or two of Tony's vlog and then compare that with kind of the, his latest vlog episodes. What episode? I guess you're not on a episode list anymore.
Not counting them anymore. Just travel videos at this point.
Well, his earlier, or I guess it would be his more recent videos within like 2019. Mm-hmm. I guess 2019, right? You've been shooting with that since 2019.
Yep, you're right. Yep, that's perfect.
Okay. All right. So let's get into a little bit about resolution and frame rates for YouTube. Okay. So first off, before we get into that, what type of channels do you think people group themselves into?
Oh man, there's so many. I think,
well, like if you're vlogging, like I guess if you're vlogging, let's just keep it vlogging specific. So you could do like lifestyle, kind of like what you do, mm-hmm. where you just like talk to the camera and just show people what's going on. Mm-hmm. You'd have like action sports people where they're like, I don't know, they're like mountain biking down a hill.
Right. Yeah.
Like, or just like scuba diving and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I guess those are kind of like the two big ones.
Yeah. And I think like the big differentiator there is like cinematics. And that's like a kind of hard word to define, but like if you have really cool action shots or like slow motion, or, you know, if there's things other than your face in the picture and you have cool things like slow motion, all that stuff, then that's like cinematics. I would group that under that bucket.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I would say that the difference there being is that they're using more handheld action cams. Like they're using more GoPro stuff.
Mm. Yeah, GoPro.
Like
I completely forgot
about
GoPro.
More portable cameras that are action. I don't want to say action specific, but they are action specific, mm-hmm. or activity specific. Because, I mean, you could never bring a DSLR underwater.
You could, you just need like a really expensive housing for it.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. Yeah. Well, like in its natural state, right?
Right. Because
like GoPros are just wet, waterproof. You don't necessarily need to add a diving housing to it.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I think back in like Hero 4 GoPro, they were still, you needed a housing, but maybe since like 5, they're by default waterproof, which is really cool.
Yeah. And so this is dovetailing into our resolution and frame rate because in your experience, Tony, you just talked about how you want to upload at least shoot in 4K, right?
Shoot and upload, yeah.
Shoot and upload in 4K. But with that being said, not everyone has the capacity to watch a footage in 4K, right?
Yeah, bandwidth is a big thing. Like how fast your internet is dependent on what you can stream. I think, I can't say for sure, but some people don't have that bandwidth, so they'll have to down-res it to 1080 or even lower than that if you're on a really slow network, 720 or lower. But to give people the option for 4K, I'm still going to have that available.
Yeah. No, so I agree. I think you should shoot in 4K. For me personally, I think it's fine shooting in 4K and uploading your videos in 4K, mm-hmm. but I also think there is some benefits to actually just down-resing your 4K footage to 1080, which is called HD. What is the equivalent? So we call 1080 HD. Mm-hmm. What's 4K?
Is it UHD?
Is it ultra HD?
Maybe
ultra HD. HD. I don't remember.
We're both thinking that, so it's got to be right.
Yeah. In any case, so 1080p is a lower resolution than 4K.
It's actually like four K is four times more information in the picture than 1080, right?
Yeah. So if you're comparing a 1080p image with a 4K image, you can also obviously just Google this stuff to look it up. But if you're actually just comparing two images shot at 1080p and 4K, For me personally, I've always thought the 4K footage is also like a little bit sharper. Like you'll see, since there is a lot more image data stored on one like frame for a movie, you'll see like just a lot more detail, a lot more refined like images and edges and stuff like that. And so 4K, uploading 4K does look nicer because there's just more information in that picture. But at the same time, it costs, well, I shouldn't say costs, the data consumption among that is really high compared to 1080 because you are storing just more information.
Yeah, we should say at this point that unless you do have a 4K monitor or a 4K screen or TV, whatever, it's not actually beneficial to you to stream in 4K because it's essentially, I don't know how to explain it like technically, but you're essentially like down-resing when you're playing it back on your screen. Does that make sense? Like,
no, it does. It does entirely.
Okay.
Because you can't actually play 4K. Well, but I mean, people do it all the time, right? Because like even, I would say the most used computer to edit software like for vlogger, or the most used computer to edit vlogs for vloggers is the MacBook Pro, and the most you can get out of that is maybe 2K. Like the Retina displays are not 4K whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, yeah. So that's just like an asterisk right there that unless you have the 4K monitor, it's probably not worth it. But again, it comes back.
Well, it's worth it though. Like I think we both agree though that shooting in 4K is probably the way to go.
For sure. If
battery life of your camera. That's also another caveat. If battery life of your camera and storage is not, like, those constraints don't matter to you because a 4K does use up a lot of electricity in your camera. Mm-hmm. We all know that. Or you know that now. And it hogs a lot of data. And so if you have those two constraints and don't care about 4K footage, or then just shoot in 1080 and call it a day.
Yeah, I will say that I don't even know, like, terabytes, at least a couple terabytes of data since I started YouTube that I have like archived on my server, and I'm quickly running out. Like every, just even like a 5-10 minute vlog or like a video, that all the raw footage together could add up to like 50 gigabytes or more, and that's a lot. Like do that like daily if you're daily vlogging, or even just like a couple times a week. Like you need a lot of storage space, and that can be costly. And I know storage space gets cheaper and cheaper every day or every year or whatever, but that's something to consider when you're shooting in 4K.
Yep. And so that, with that being said, going back to what type of channel do you want to do? Do you want to do like action, or do you want to do lifestyle? GoPros can shoot at 4K. And DSLRs can definitely shoot at 4K at this point. iPhones or OnePluses or Android phones, they all can shoot at 4K now. And what I will say, though, is that we talked about resolution, but now let's get into, like, frame rate. Do you think we should get into frame rate?
Or yeah.
Just like a cursory overview of it?
Yeah, I think we beat 4K to the ground. Time to move on.
Okay.
Frame rates. Yeah, frame rate. So what's your opinion about frame rate? Like, are you a 24 guy or a 30 guy, or what's your deal?
Okay, so to me, I can't tell the difference between 24 and 30, and maybe that's because I just don't have the correct, I don't know, equipment to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, like, this is the biological aspect, and most people, if you're involved in cinematography, know this. The eye can actually only detect 24 frames per second.
Yeah, that's my understanding too.
So, to me, like, going 30 frames per second, there really is no difference between 24 and 30. But that being said, if you're trying to get, like, slow-mo shots involved, you should go at a higher frame rate.
Yeah. Like
60 or above.
Yeah, this really like tripped me up when I first got into like slow motion, because when I was vlogging with my cell phone, the max it could shoot was 30 frames per second, and I would always export at 30 frames per second, not knowing anything about 24 frames a second. But since I got the GH5, it can shoot 60 frames per second at 4K, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because like I'm bad at math, but I couldn't understand like converting from 60 frames to 24 frames. So it could just be me, but I think it's worth it to just talk it out and show people like how you slow that down and how that kind of works.
Well, maybe you should make a YouTube video about that.
I should. You're right. But I'm sure there's plenty out there.
And so, I mean, I kind of understood it. I didn't have to think about this, but like if you're trying to, you can export your video once you make it after you shoot your footage. Okay. Well, I guess you should shoot your footage at either 24, 30 or 60, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And once you shoot in either of those frame rates, you can export it at those same equivalencies. So your video, once you export your video using whatever software you're using, that can get exported at 24, 30 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem lies is if you shoot in like 60 frames per second on your camera, like your actual footage, and then let's say you export your footage at 30 frames per second or 24 frames per second, then there's usually a discrepancy and it kind of looks funky on your final product. Let's say you shoot your camera at 60 frames per second and you export it at 30 frames per second. Well, what you could do is you could decrease your FPS to 30 frames per second if it's like a slow-mo or a B-roll type of space. And that should ease any of those kind of weird funkiness that happens when you export. But at the same time, if it's like a talking piece that's 60 frames per second, then you kind of have to leave it there.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're doing that, it's like essentially a 50% reduction in speed, right? Because you're cutting it in half.
Yeah, so...
If you're exporting at 24, it's essentially a 40% reduction in speed because when you divide it out, that's what that ends up being.
Yeah. And so things to consider, what frame rate you're going to shoot at and then what frame rate you're going to export at too.
Yeah. I gotta get out of here. There's people in here now.
Okay. Okay, so sorry if there's a weird audio change here now. Tony had to move his location because it was too loud because he's at Hostel Japan.
Life.
And maybe this is a good to... We'll throw in a little break here. What are we going to talk about next week, Tony?
Next week, I'm super excited to talk about hiking to the top of Mount Fuji. It was like seriously one of the coolest things I've done to date.
Yep. It sounds like it. And so stay tuned for that episode. In any case, so we were talking about shooting at 60 frames per second, converting, and then choosing kind of whatever frame rate you want to render at, either 30, 24, or 60. Depends on what you want to do, honestly. But let's go into the cameras and the setup. So you started off with a mobile camera or a mobile device, I should say. You started off with a cell phone and made your transition to a DSLR. Now, can you just tell us why you did that? Like, why is a cell phone not, like, I'm not going to say good, because it is good enough, but why transition to a DSLR?
Yeah, so actually, the GH5 is a mirrorless camera, and there's a difference there between a DSLR and a mirrorless. DSLR is digital single lens reflector, which... means there's a mirror in there that everything that the camera captures has to bounce off before it hits the sensor. And a mirrorless camera doesn't have that. So I think it's, I don't know the technicality of it, but it's lighter weight than a DSLR, et cetera, et cetera. That's past the point.
Don't have that mirror flapping when you take a, when you take a shot, you don't have a mirror flapping up and down.
Yeah. Yeah. But to answer your question, why did I make the transition? I started to get more serious about vlogging and making videos for YouTube. And I really, I wanted to invest in myself a little bit, like to take it up a notch and play around with some more features. Like I said, my cell phone, the max it could record at was 30 frames per second. That means I couldn't do any of that slow motion that we just talked about. It didn't have a zoom lens. It was only one solid like camera picture. Everything was in focus. I couldn't play around with zooming in, zooming out. I couldn't play around with that. What is it? The bokeh effect, where you're like your face is in focus and then the background's kind of like blurry. There's so many features that you get with whether it's a DSLR or a mirrorless camera that like just enhances the quality of your vlog. So that for those reasons, I felt the need to, you know, spend a little bit of money and upgrade.
Have you seen kind of an increase in viewership since you've done the transition?
I have, but correlation doesn't necessarily imply causation, so I don't think that has anything to do with it. I mean, maybe it does.
Well, have you seen a trend? Have you seen a trend at least?
Yeah. Definitely more people watching, more people following, but again, like I can't bring that back to the hardware.
Yeah, there's obviously different factors as such, like you know how to edit better, you have a better viewership than when you first started. There's a lot of different aspects to it. I was just wondering if you actually, I don't know, saw an increase immediately after. Like, I think that's the biggest tell. Like, if you, like, once you switched over, if you saw a bigger spike in those videos as compared to your earlier ones.
Yeah, nothing like that. No spikes or anything.
Okay. Well, in any case, they look better. And so if they look, people are just naturally drawn to better looking videos. I mean, that's the bottom line. Not to say that cell phones may not. So I've always thought that cell phones are really good. And in the future, they may even be even better than, let's say, point and shoot cameras. But I think the limitation behind cell phones as a primary videoing device is that they lack that quality. You know, their main purpose, honestly, is to talk to other people. Their main purpose is not to film or take photos, even though that's somehow they've adapted this over time. And so I definitely think moving to a point and shoot, at least a point and shoot camera, or a DSLR or a mirrorless interchangeable lens camera will certainly up the quality of your vlogs or of your channel.
Yeah, for sure. And like the one thing you missed there was the like a GoPro or an action cam. And I think it's worth noting here that I really considered to transition to one of those. But the reason I didn't at the time was because of audio quality. And that's something really important to note here as well. Video is super important, but audio is just as important. If you have like all this like background noise from like the tiny pinhole microphone on your cell phone, you're going to pick up a lot of wind, all that stuff. And the thing about like an action camera, it doesn't have a audio output, so you can't hook up an external microphone to it, and you're still going to be working with that pinhole microphone. And having a good audio quality. I've battled with this so many times with my cell phone, where there's gusts of wind coming through and you couldn't hear me talking. So I really wanted to get that external mic. So that's why I discluded the action cams from my purchases. But
yep, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But I think, I don't know. Do you know if like the Hero, what is it? Are they on the 7 or 8 now? Don't they have
I think they're on the 8s. I could probably just Google this right now too. Keep talking.
Yeah. So there's that one, and then DJI has their own like action camera, which is very comparable to the latest GoPro. And I think they might have external audio inputs, or what are they? Their inputs for like an external microphone. And if they do have that now, I would very much so consider one of those as like a good vlogging rig, where you can plug in an external mic and have good audio quality, good 4K. The only thing you couldn't do with those type of cameras is zoom in and zoom out, and like, you know, play with that focus that I was talking about. So it's like, it's an option. It's an option for a YouTube channel that's more action oriented, like we talked about in the beginning of this episode. If you want those action shots, mount it to your bike, mount it to your snowboard, all that stuff. That's like a really good rig that you got going on there.
No, yeah. And so what I'll say is that so they're on GoPro Hero 7s now.
Seven, okay.
But what I'll say is that I honestly So for my, for a couple of my Hawaii videos, when I went there for my honeymoon, there was actually just one day where I just shot all on GoPro. Mm. And that reason for that is because we were doing a lot of snorkeling. And so, you can just take the GoPro and the audio. I think if you have the caveat that, you know, that the audio is going to be a little weird, not weird, poor, not poor. It is poor. Let's just put it out. Yeah. It's poor audio. But I think the new iterations of GoPro, they've gotten a little bit better. But if you're obviously going in and out of water and trying to talk at the same time, no go.
No, yeah.
But I would say like the image quality of the GoPro is legit. Like it's actually really nice looking, especially at 4K. It's pretty sharp. I like what it looks like. And even though it looks like a GoPro still, it doesn't look bad, you know? And so if you're just trying to do purely mobility, like if you're based off mobility, like if you are in Hawaii going on a snorkel trip, you don't want to necessarily bring your DSLR or your mirrorless or your big camera. You could do that. You could just shoot with your phone and your GoPro in conjunction. And those two things literally fit in your pocket. So there are aspects that, you know, you kind of got to think about. But at the same time, wind is a really big deal. Because wind noise does just overrule all sorts of audio that your phone's trying to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good point. I think, so what do we got? We talked about the action cameras. We talked about DSLRs, mirrorless, and cell phones. Is there anything that we're missing here as far as like devices?
No, I don't think so. I think, we're recording this in 2019, in September 2019. In the future, I think a lot of these cameras will get upgraded to the point that you won't have to make this decision anymore. They should be good. But I don't know. I think what it comes down to is in choosing your camera, and this is the title of the episode, and it's really a cop-out, the answer we're going to give you, is it depends, right? Like, your mileage is going to vary based on the channel you're going to have. If you're out in the wilderness, you know, if you're backpacking on a mountain or on a mountain bike going downhill, you obviously can't carry a 10-pound DSLR in your hand and try to navigate a rocky downturn, like, right? Because you're going to pick a GoPro instead. If you're just doing a lifestyle vlog like Tony does or a travel vlog, having that DSLR is a lot, it's not easier to deal with, but it's a lot more manageable, than if you were doing something else like hiking. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it depends on like A, what your channel is focused on, and B, how good of a production quality you want to have this channel become. I guess C is also a price, which we never talked about.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
There's a lot. So obviously, the DSLRs and mirrorless definitely have a cost associated with it. And it's not an easy upfront cost, but if you can get some sort of value out of it and justify that purchase, then I would say, I would agree with you that that's probably the way to go for a vlog.
Yeah, well said. Cool. Well, I think in combination with that and like everything that we talked about, 4K frame rate, autofocus, all that stuff, I think that's a pretty good summary of what to do about buying a camera for YouTube. You have anything else to add, Mark?
No, I think we're good. We're good. I'm actually in the process of I started this a few years ago. Before I got married, and I'm in the process of finishing it now, converting over those 8mm tapes to MP4s, to digitizing all my tapes.
Oh, yeah. That's
so. I was just thinking to myself, like, what if someone was vlogging on this camera today? Right? You wouldn't be in 1080p. You'd be in like 480p.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, you'd have these bulky 8mm tapes just in your pocket constantly. You'd have to change your batteries. Like, you'd have to carry a lot more than what you would need to carry today.
That would not be fun.
So.
And then getting them like digitizing, like, no way. Not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And so just thinking about where we've come from and like where we're going to where we may end up in the future is just, I think that with the expansion of YouTube and photography and stuff like that, I think it should be a very exciting time for people trying to get into that, you know, world.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're thinking about it, the best time to start was yesterday. So get to it, pick up whatever you got. If you have a budget, go ahead and buy a camera and let us know. We would love to see what you guys are up to on YouTube or Instagram, whatever platform you choose. So
okay. Well, thanks for listening to this episode. Next week, we're going to be talking about Tony climbing a mountain. So stay tuned.
Yep. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you next week.
You messed up the outro. So do it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.